Good evening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM HD1 Evanston, Chicago. I'm Cara Totley, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, Israel Peace and Reflection Week, the Garden of Time, reviewing the 2024 Met Gala, a PA group update, and the sports report. Those stories and more coming up from Northwestern University. This is WNUR News at 6. As students continue to clash over ongoing violence in Gaza, some have continued to commemorate the cultures of Israel and Palestine. In a two-part story, Edward Simon Cruz will be looking at some of these efforts. Tonight, he's exploring the Israel Peace and Reflection Week.
On Saturday night, a group of Jewish students gathered in the Northwestern Hillel building for the We Will Dance Again party. That celebration was one of several events that Northwestern Hillel and Wildcats for Israel organized for this year's Israel Peace and Reflection Week.
The saying We Will Dance Again came about after the Nova Music Festival, where on October 7th, more than 300 Israelis were murdered, and I think it was 40 were kidnapped. And so the saying We Will Dance Again is saying that we're going to mourn the life and we won't forget the lives that were lost, but also we're going to celebrate life and we're going to continue being Jewish.
That's middle sophomore Madeline Stern, president of Wildcats for Israel and a religious and spiritual life co-chair at Hillel. Each year, Israel Week coincides with two major national holidays. The first, Yom HaZikaron, is Israel's Memorial Day and fell on Monday this year. This year's Yom HaZikaron vigil mourned Israeli soldiers and civilians killed before, during, and after Hamas's October 7th attack on the country. And Yom HaAtzmaut is Israel's Independence Day, falling on Tuesday this year. The holiday commemorates May 14, 1948, when David Ben-Gurion declared the creation of a Jewish state hours before the United Kingdom ceded control of the land containing present-day Israel and Palestine. Students celebrated the day with food, games, and music. Stern says Israel Week helped Northwestern's Jewish students come together amid increased anti-Semitism on college campuses.
Sometimes on this campus, it can feel that some Jewish students are being demonized for supporting Israel, and it can feel very alienating and isolating. And supporting Israel is a really important part of Jewish identity, and so we're looking forward to being able to do that. And I think just realizing that is really important. And of course, people can have different opinions about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and the Israel-Hamas war because there's so much happening and there's so many different perspectives, but denying the existence of the Jewish state is really hurtful. And so I think it'd be great if our peers could support us in that.
Israel Week kicked off last Thursday with a talk from journalist and Medill alum Gil Hoffman, who leads the Israeli media advocacy group Honest Reporting. Hoffman defended the Israeli government's actions and discussed challenging media narratives that portray the country negatively.
Israel's a very divisive political place, and yet I was able to stay above the fray. And it can still be done now. But wait, that's internal politics. That's what I cover. When it's Israel's against its enemies, then I can be a proud patriot and say, we're right. We're on the side of civilization. We're making the world a better place. And the enemies of Israel that are trying to bring Israel down and trying to get rid of the only Jewish state in the world, they're wrong. And I feel comfortable in that place.
And at another talk on Tuesday, diplomats Dennis Ross and Gaith El-Omari discussed negotiating Israeli-Palestinian peace agreements around the turn of the century. But not all of Israel Week focused on politics. Other events included a beach day and a 5K run raising money for the Magen David Adom, Israel's National Emergency Response Service. Weinberg Jr. and Hillel President Sari Eisen says her group and Wildcats for Israel intentionally curated a variety of events throughout the week.
Having a whole week that's dedicated specifically to Israeli culture is really emphasizing the point that you can support a country, you can support their culture without supporting all of their government actions or all of their military actions. Obviously, that's specifically important this year to be able to still connect with our Israeli peers, with our Israeli culture, without necessarily making it a political event.
And Saturday's We Will Dance Again party featured rapper Kosha Dills, who has released multiple pro-Israel songs since October 7. Northwestern is one of many universities he has visited to talk about the Israel-Hamas conflict.
I try to make light of the darkness, and that's a really big concept in Jewish life, is to be a light in the darkness, you know? And when I mean darkness, I mean war. I don't mean people. I just mean the entire vibe, right? So if I can make people laugh, and hostage families have come up and said, like, you know, you really bring me a little bit of light, And like that's what a big part of my message.
McCormick Senior Max Rogel says he appreciates having a community of peers who can celebrate their Jewish identities and love of Israel.
Here in the U.S., we kind of want to feel that pride, want to feel that energy. So I'm hoping at least that we're going to come and have a lot of energy, have a lot of celebration, even despite all the challenges going on in Israel. And I think that's the biggest thing we can do for our community right now.
Weinberg Senior Lily Cohen also says this community has been important to her both this year and throughout her time at Northwestern.
You know, Israel Week happens every year. It's not only happening because of the war or because of, you know, challenges we faced on campus. And so, if anything, this year more than ever, it's just a great sort of, you know, break from some of the outside noise, some of the tension that I and other Jewish students have experienced, and just a way for us to come together and really be proud.
Eisen says many Jewish students have differing viewpoints on the Israeli government, making it important for Hillel to support students across those differences. This year's Israel Week included multiple lunches and conversations helping students explore their Jewish identity and perspectives on Israel. Today is the last day of Israel Week, but Eisen says student leaders and full-time staff members will continue supporting students after it ends.
Something to balance is supporting Wildcats for Israel, but also making sure that Hillel remains as kind of inclusive as an environment as we can. And we want to make sure that all students are included and feel like they can freely express themselves within the Hillel building and within the community. Bring the
family home. For WNUR News, I'm Edward Simon Cruz. That's the worst pain. I remember
tonight. Last Monday, the most famous faces in arts and entertainment donned their most fashionable outfits for the annual Met Gala, a night of fashion and fundraising. Gabby Schell discusses the highs and lows of the night.
Garden party to reminisce with my old friends.
On May 6th, hundreds of well-dressed guests went to a garden party to reminisce on times past. Stars at the Met Gala turned the red carpet into shades of green and brown last Monday as they flaunted fashion creations in line with this year's theme, The Garden of Time. Named after a short story about a wealthy couple hiding away in luxury as an angry mob grows outside their walls, this year's Met Gala theme originally came under fire for being politically insensitive. While protests were mostly averted, by the end of the night, the theme's true crime became apparent. It was just plain boring.
The year was quite disappointing and I think just didn't give as much.
That was Medill first year Grace Jordan Weinstein, the styling director for Stitch, the premier Northwestern fashion magazine, and an avid Met Gala fan. Gabriel Burnick, another Medill first year and member of the Unity Fashion Show's social media team, agreed. The theme revolved around common fashion motifs, he said, and didn't require much creativity.
You can do anything floral, anything related to nature, or you can do anything with time. So that's not really something you need to, like, understand.
Burnick was disappointed with the lack of effort many of the attendees showed, but one group in particular struck him as particularly boring.
Literally almost everyone flopped. Like, I'm just gonna say, the men don't show up.
Many of the men invited chose simple black or colored suits, often without even a flower or timepiece accessory. Even Met Gala host Chris Hemsworth disappointed. Although very dapper in the light tan Tom Ford suit, the Marvel star's outfit showed little creativity or cohesion to the theme. While Jordan Weinstein was no more impressed with the styling choices of the male attendees, she was not as uniquely focused in her distaste.
Emma Mackey, Zoe Saldana, and Sienna Miller, the three of them all like wear really cool outfits, but it just was very like 2014 like Free People. Like it was just very like boho and kind of not on theme.
Despite their distaste for the theme, both Burnick and Jordan Weinstein conceded that part of the toned-down night may have come from those in attendance. Or perhaps more aptly, those who were not.
A lot of the people who really went there in the past, like, either weren't here or they, like, didn't show up.
Jordan Weinstein added,
I was disappointed, I will say, that A$AP Rocky was not there, or Rihanna, because they always have really cool looks, and, like, multiple years in a row have been, like, my favorite. And
Rihanna was on the list of attendees, but canceled because of a last-minute bug. Some fan favorites of the past may have been missing, but stars like Lana Del Rey, Ariana Grande, and Zendaya made their reappearance after years of being Met Gala MIA. While the overall event may have been more muted, there were still some fashion standouts. Zendaya, one of the four hosts, stunned the carpet with two over-the-top outfits, a shimmering blue and green Margiela dress adorned with vines and fake birds, and a trailing vintage Givenchy black gown with a towering flower headdress. Both Burnick and Jordan Weinstein were impressed by Lana Del Rey's outfit, a tan Alexander McQueen dress that draped over its own growing tree limbs.
I really liked Lana Del Rey in McQueen. It was very, like, you know, it looked kind of old because it's kind of like cobwebs and then there's a flower, so the floral element. It also really referenced, there's a fall 2006 look by, like, Alexander McQueen himself back when he was at the helm of the house. And I thought that was just a very good tie into the past, but also, like, the literal garden theme.
Burnick also mentioned Tyla, the singer best known for the hit Water, who showed up in a custom Balmain skin-tight dress mimicking the appearance of wet sand in the shape of an hourglass.
People were so committed with the idea of Garden of Time with flowers or with floral patterns that people only went that way with it. But because sand is so obviously, like, intrinsically linked to time, it was such a smart way to do it, especially because, like, the way the dress looked, it kind of, I don't know if this is true, but, like, I feel like it kind of looked like it was aging too.
For Burnick, the emphasis on time was a missing element from a lot of the outfits, and one that could have stepped up the creativity and the depth of the styles.
The idea that, like, fabric naturally ages over time, there's so much that could have been done with, like, having rips or tears in fabrics that a lot of the celebrities didn't do.
Fashion influencer Wisdom K went this route in a vibrant red Robert 1 tailcoat and sun hat littered with burns and rot holes throughout. Supermodel Gigi Hadid's stunning white custom Tom Brown gown, accented with yellow roses, featured a skirt designed to mirror a suit jacket falling off onto the ground, a look that took designers a whopping 13,500 hours to complete. Even for those who took the more flower-forward approach, the designers could have taken in more creative directions, Jordan Weinstein said. She remembered a vintage Valentino line that displayed models in heavy, cone-like flower headpieces that echoed the maximalism of more popular Met Galas, like the 2019 camp theme.
I feel like there was a lot more room for, like, over-the-top, just, like, crazy literal looks, and that didn't really happen.
For Jordan Weinstein, the over-the-top aspect of the Met Gala is what is so captivating. Instead of focusing on popular appeal, she prefers when the designers push the limit of fashion.
Even if I don't like someone's look and it's very, like, out there, like, I have respect. But the ones that were, like, the least appealing to me were just, like, the most, like, safe ones that could have, like, been worn at any red carpet.
The predictability of this year's outfits made the theme one of the worst for Jordan Weinstein since the 2013 punk theme that got her hooked. The biggest night in fashion may be over for the year, but the biggest day in Northwestern fashion is just around the corner. As you obsess over how to spin the perfect camp couture outfit for Dillo, pay attention to the lessons from this year's Met Gala. In fashion, it's always go big or go home. For WNUR News, I'm Gabby Schell.
Ever wonder what your PA group is up to? 4 years after beginning college on Zoom, Allison Rauch reconnected with members of her PA group to reflect on their unique freshman year. Here she is with more.
I'm one of WNUR News' co-directors. I'm also WNUR News' only senior, meaning I started at Northwestern in 2020. I finished high school in Austin through a combination of Zoom ceremony and drive-through diploma pickup. This was in June 2020, during the peak of the COVID-19 pandemic. That summer, everyone held their breath as we heard news of various colleges canceling move-ins. Then on Friday, August 28th, 2020, just a week before move-in, we received an email.
With limited exceptions, first and second year undergraduate students will not be allowed on campus, including in residence halls, and will begin the academic year on a remote-only basis.
The college move-in experience we had long awaited was gone in an instant. With it went the entire freshman year experience. Instead of starting classes and clubs, I zoomed into my lectures while working 20 hours a week at my food service job. And instead of doing Wildcat Welcome with my peer advisory group in person, we met almost every day on Zoom. Northwestern calls their freshman orientation Wildcat Welcome, and they organize incoming students into peer advisory groups or PA groups. Each is led by two older students and are divided by school. In the Medill School of Journalism, however, your PA group members are also your classmates for the first year journalism sequence, which meant I would be spending a lot of screen time with these people.
My initial impression of our PA group was that everyone was super nice. I mean, we were on Zoom, so I think I was, like, kind of desperate to make friends.
That's Hannah Cole, a senior studying journalism and legal studies.
Other people seem to agree with her take.
I feel like our PA group initially was like pretty close of all the other Medill PA groups that I think existed.
That's Jenna Wang, a senior studying journalism, political science, and integrated marketing communications.
I think we all clicked pretty quickly because we were some of each other's first friends. We weren't like meeting other people around campus or like getting to meet other people at like, you know, randomly.
That's Juliana Zitron, a senior studying journalism and political science. She brought up a good point that as freshmen in 2020, we had a very different PA group experiences than classes that came before and after us.
Wildcat welcome was virtual for us, and like we weren't being welcomed. 10 days, they were like, 10 days before, they were like, don't come to campus, actually.
That's Carly Witteman, a senior studying journalism and English literature.
It felt like work more than fun, if that makes sense, to be like on Zoom for all of those hours doing orientation activities, because a lot of them didn't really make sense because we weren't on campus.
That's Braden Spate, a senior studying journalism and political science.
I think it was interesting because since a lot of our meetings were done over Zoom, we kind of really got to see into each other's rooms. So that kind of gave an indication of personality. So I think that was sort of an interesting side effect of it being Zoom.
And that's Arden Shao, a senior studying computer science. It was definitely weird getting to know people over Zoom and then meeting them in person months later. And some of the Wildcat welcome activities designed to endear us to Northwestern didn't really take effect.
You know, I don't know all the words to the Northwestern fight song.
The fight song's a really good example. I don't know the words to that.
I think a lot of people in our year have a little less school spirit than other years. Like, we never learned the fight song and...
Despite all this, it seemed like we had an okay freshman year. And while not all of us still hang out, some actually do keep in touch. For example, Cole and Zitron are close.
Juliana, I see her all the time. Will, Brayden...
Yeah, I still regularly hang out with Hannah a lot. We went abroad together, and freshman and sophomore year, we took a class together every single quarter.
Spate and Witteman are some of the members that I keep the best in touch with.
I talk to Allison, who is doing the sort. I talk to Will Clark, who was in the PA group, probably the most. And I feel like that's really interesting because, again, when we were in the Zoom room, now I never said a word. I never spoke. So it's interesting that, like, now we speak. But at the time, you know, I never would have, like, guessed that.
I hang out with you. We have gone to the Glossier store together. We've gone to the American Girl Doll Cafe. Otherwise, I just sort of, like, yeah, like, I'll say hello when I see people.
Even Xiao and Wang, who said they aren't really close with PA group members, say they like saying hi when the opportunity comes up.
But I do recognize some of y'all, and so oftentimes we'll just say hi when passing each other on the street.
Now, almost 4 years later, many former members of PA Group 149 are poised to graduate. Some are continuing their education, while some are starting at jobs. Reflecting on their lives in freshman year, all had good advice.
I think one thing I would tell myself from the fall is that how you're feeling that fall isn't going to be a reflection of how you feel the next 4 years.
You're actually really going to enjoy college, and you're going to meet people that you will be friends with for a very long time.
I would tell myself not to be as scared about making friends. I do remember being like nervous because of Zoom and everything, but like once I actually got to campus, it was much easier than I thought it was going to be.
Maybe this is bad advice for me, but to not worry about classwork so much and just go out and go to more random events and just meet more people.
I think now as a senior, I think I've come to appreciate that like life never really goes how you imagine it to be. Like expectations never really 100% come true.
As I record this today in May of 2024, graduation is less than a month away. What I'm struck by now is how we were able to jam 4 years of college into a much shorter time. We didn't have any of the experiences of the classes that came after us. They didn't have the mandatory weekly testing at the Jacobs Center, the daily symptom tracker, the 4 p.m. curfew, the endless walks around and around campus with friends since there was nothing better to do. But we made the most of it. And as murky as things looked in September 2020, we made it out just fine. For WNUR News, I'm Allison Rauch.
The championship chase continues for Northwestern sports. Women's lacrosse, softball, and golf are all participating in postseason action. Brendan Prizman has the sports report.
Hi, I'm Brendan Prizman. Here's your NU sports report for the week. In lacrosse, Northwestern continues to charge towards back-to-back championships. The Wildcats routed Denver 17-4 on Sunday to advance to the NCAA quarterfinals. The game was especially notable for sixth-year Izzy Skane, who scored 5 goals and added an assist. Skane's first goal of the game was the 359th of her career, passing Charlotte North for the most goals in a collegiate career all time. The sixth year is also a finalist for the Tewaratawn Award, given annually to the best collegiate lacrosse player in the nation. Aside from Skane, the offense was buoyed by Aaron Koikendahl and Madison Taylor. Taylor had 4 goals and 3 assists, and Koikendahl had 2 goals and 4 assists. Northwestern will take on number 9 Penn tomorrow night at home at 6:30. If the Wildcats win, they'll advance to the Final Four in Cary, North Carolina on May 24th. Northwestern softball is also participating in the NCAA tournament. After a regular season that saw the Wildcats win their 3rd straight conference title, the postseason began with a disappointing thud. Less than a week after defeating Indiana in a series, Northwestern lost to the Hoosiers in the Big Ten tournament. Despite the early exit in Iowa City, Northwestern still put together a good enough regular season to advance to the NCAA regionals. The Wildcats will take on St. Francis on Friday night to open their tournament run. This is the 9th time in the last 10 years that Northwestern has made the NCAA regionals. Should they beat St. Francis on Friday, they will have to play number 1 overall national seed, Texas. If Northwestern wants to make it back to the Super Regionals for the 2nd straight year, they'll have a lot of work to do. And turning to golf, Northwestern women's golf is back in the NCAA championships for the 9th time since 2013. The Wildcats finished 4th in the NCAA East Lansing Regional last week, good enough to advance. Northwestern has had a spectacular season and is currently ranked 11th in the nation by the National Collegiate Golf Ranking System. The Wildcats have also been on a tear since March, winning 2 events and finishing in the top 3 in 2 more. That includes a win at the Ping ASU Invitational back in March, when the Wildcats outlasted 3 teams currently in the top 7 nationally. Northwestern has been led all season long by Lauren Nguyen, who finished tied for 5th in the East Lansing Regional. Nguyen has 23 rounds at or below par this season, which is the top mark on the team. Men's golf is also taking on postseason action right now in the NCAA's Chapel Hill Regional. After storming to a victory in the Big Ten tournament, the Wildcats are seeking to make it to the NCAA championships. If Northwestern finishes in the top 5 at Chapel Hill, the team will travel to California to play for the NCAA title a week from Friday. That concludes your NU Sports Report for this week. For more information about upcoming games, as well as how you can watch the Wildcats live, visit www.nusports.com. I'm Brendan Prizman, WNUR News.
Now for a brief look at the forecast. As Camp Dillo is approaching, Mother Nature is on camper sides as Saturday will be a high of 72 degrees and no rain is forecasted. However, the days leading up to Dillo will see some showers. On Thursday, there is a 45% chance of rain with a high of a 74 and a low of 50 degrees. Friday is a little cooler with a high of 72 and a low of 57 degrees. There is also a 35% chance of rain. Taking a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation and globe, the annual Lights at Deering event, which marks the beginning of Pride Month, has been canceled after the university denied Northwestern's largest LGBTQIA+ organization, Rainbow Alliance, access to the library's lighting system. This would have been the 5th year Deering would be illuminated for Pride. Student climate activists at Evanston Township High School shared at Monday's District 202 board meeting that the school has reduced their greenhouse gas emissions from a 2018 baseline by 35%. The leaders and administration of the E-Town Sunrise Club also presented the finalized ETHS Green New Deal, a plan to make the school carbon neutral by 2050. President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump have agreed to do 2 debates before the November presidential election. One will be hosted by CNN on June 27th at 8 p.m. CST. The other will be held September 10th by ABC News. In world news, Slovakia's Prime Minister Robert Fico is in critical condition after being shot multiple times after an on-site government meeting in Handlova. Fico is the most powerful lawmaker in Slovakia as the Prime Minister holds rank as the decision-making head of the government. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 89.3. You can listen to these and other WNUR news stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Sophia Quesa, and our reporters are Edward Cruz, Gabby Schell, Allison Rock, and Brendan Preisman. I'm Cara Totley. Catch our special broadcast where we talk all things homophones on Friday, May 10th. Now, back to scheduled programming.